It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You all right?
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
Late last night, those three NYPD police officers were wounded, but all of them are expected to survive. The two officers were patrolling the streets of Brooklyn, trying to protect local businesses from looting, when a man approached them with a knife, stabbing one of the officers in the neck. Fellow officers responded immediately, exchanging gunfire with the perpetrator. Two officers were shot in the hand. All three wounded officers are in stable condition, and they are expected to recover. Now, the suspect was also shot and is in critical condition. And this incident follows other attacks on cops in recent days. This week, a sergeant was struck by a black sedan in the Bronx, and another officer was beat up on the street. NYPD Commissioner Dermot Shea responding to the violence.
It appears to be a completely, cowardly, despicable, unprovoked attack on a defenseless police officer, and thank God we're not planning a funeral right now. The men and women of this police department should not have to withstand any more, not one more attack. I think we are all fed up with what we're seeing in many levels. This violence has to stop.
Now, Police Commissioner Shea is expected to give an update later today. They're going to be reviewing that body cam footage to try to sort out what they're calling a very chaotic incident.
That was Lauren Green just last night in the early morning hours of Fox News broadcast. And that's, you know, the continued situation in New York City where de Blasio just continues. You know, he's proud of his daughter. She got arrested, you know, protesting whatever she was doing. He said, of course, it was peaceful. He's proud of her. He had a photo op with his arm around her. Meanwhile, he leaves his city unprotected. And refuses to bring in the National Guard. It really is shocking, and the people of New York City are reeling. For heaven's sake, they've been under this strict lockdown. They've been scared to death by their leaders. They had built hospitals that were hardly used because there was supposed to be such a horrible COVID outbreak. We know now that the governor, most of those deaths, not all of them, but many of them, a substantial portion of those deaths, reported out of New York, took place in nursing homes where people were attributed their deaths were attributed to COVID even when they didn't have COVID, and where he forced nursing homes to take COVID-positive patients, which, of course, infected many of those nursing home patients. It really is a travesty if you live in New York, you're in New York. That's why so many New Yorkers are leaving, and not just the city, but also the state. It's an impossible situation, and we need to pray for the people of New York. There are some wonderful people in New York. I'll never forget, after 9/11, I remember driving actually to New York. I did a day trip, and it was four and a half hours from D.C. Drove my little PT Cruiser up there and just spent the whole day at the, because I was in China. I was actually in North Korea when the 9/11 attack happened, and I just was not connected, and I wanted to just see. And the people of New York just rose to the occasion. They were incredible. They remind me of the people of Chicago. They're crusty. They're kind of tough, which to some other parts of the country is off-putting. But honestly, that tough is just a crust for very tender. And so the people of New York are really suffering, and we do need to pray for them. Also, one point that is not made is how many black police officers are being killed. And so another one was killed in St. Louis just, I believe it was yesterday or just the hours before yesterday. And Trace Gallagher has a report on his life, and I just want you to hear it. Let's listen.
Police officers in 32 U.S. cities have been injured, many of them seriously, and that does not include the dozens of Secret Service agents who were also hurt. And a lot of the injuries are bullet wounds, including to police officers in Cincinnati, Davenport, Iowa, Las Vegas, where an officer remains on life support, Oakland, California, where 53-year-old Homeland Security officer Dave Patrick Underwood was shot and killed, and St. Louis, where just after four police officers were shot and wounded, a former St. Louis police captain was gunned down in a pawn shop. 77-year-old David Dorn was guarding the shop for a friend who owned it when looters broke in and opened fire. The last moments of Dorn's life were caught on video and posted on Facebook Live. The video was initially taken down by Facebook and then put back up to, quote, raise awareness and condemn the event. It's been viewed more than 90,000 times. Today, Dorn's son spoke out. Watch.
It was senseless over TVs, over stuff that's replaceable. And they forgetting the real message for the protests and the positiveness that's supposed to come out of it. And we get this negative light that's shown on a situation that really needed light to be brought to it.
David Dorn, the father of five with 10 grandchildren, served 38 years on the St. Louis Police Department. He retired in 2007 and went on to become the police chief of Moline Acres, a small town in St. Louis County. Dorn's colleagues say his mission was to make sure his officers would adhere to the strictest of standards. Dorn also spent years heading up the St. Louis Police Department's Explorers program for young people interested in law enforcement. Friends say Dorn served as an instructor, role model, and mentor. President Trump tweeted, quoting, "Our highest respect to the family of David Dorn, a great police captain from St. Louis who was viciously shot and killed by despicable looters last night. We honor our police officers perhaps more than ever before. Thank you." And Missouri Governor Mike Parsons said the people who shot Dorn are not protesters. They are criminals and thugs.
Trace Gallagher from Fox News. I thought that was a great report. And the point has to be we have said this, but I guess we have to repeat that many police officers or officers wearing uniforms of various stripes are black, for heaven's sake. And they're being killed in these protests also. We think of the security guard. He was working for Homeland Security, Federal Guard, in his 50s, who was shot early on. What early on? What, 3 days ago? And so he, you know, with a great story, his own great contribution to life. And where are these stories? Don't their black lives matter? Don't they matter? And I think really the most distressing thing to me that happened yesterday was when the Mike Esper stood to really contradict the president of the United States. It was a low point in what's been happening these last few days. Kristen Fisher has the story. Let's listen. Clip one.
Tonight, there are serious questions about the defense secretary's standing in the Trump administration after he stood up to President Trump and said that the U.S. military should not be used to quell these protests. But about an hour ago, the Pentagon chief reversed his decision from earlier in the day and will no longer be sending home the active duty troops that have been staging in the D.C. area. After days of President Trump threatening to invoke the Insurrection Act, which would allow him to deploy active duty troops on U.S. soil, today, Defense Secretary Mark Esper said he would not support it.
The option to use active duty forces in a law enforcement role should only be used as a matter of last resort and only in the most urgent and dire of situations. We are not in one of those situations now.
The statement was one of many made today by Secretary Esper that was at odds with the president's response to protests across the country. And when asked if the president still had confidence in Secretary Esper, the White House press secretary would only say,
"As of right now, Secretary Esper is still Secretary Esper, and should the president lose faith, we will all learn about that in the future."
Today, Secretary Esper also tried to distance himself from what happened in Lafayette Square on Monday night by saying he did not know what was happening to those protesters or what President Trump would be doing when they got to St. John's Church.
"I was not aware of a photo op was happening. Of course, the president drags a large press pool along with him. And look, I do everything I can to try to stay apolitical and to try and stay out of situations that may appear political."
That was really the most disgraceful display I've seen so far. Unbelievable. The Secretary of Defense, having a press conference at the Pentagon, asking these questions. You hear how he said the president drags the press along, as though the press needs to be dragged. Do they not like follow President Trump wherever he goes? I mean, that was insulting. This is the Secretary of Defense, and the president's been talking about invoking the Insurrection Act. And by the way, Senator Tom Cotton wrote an op-ed in the New York Times saying it's time to do that. And the New York Times, people on staff at the New York Times are apoplectic that their newspaper would print something like this. They're demanding that their own newspaper take it down. But Senator Tom Cotton, former Iraqi veteran, thinks it's time to invoke the Insurrection Act. And the president is talking about doing that. But the Secretary of Defense, who works at the pleasure of the commander in chief, no, not so much. We're not at that point. We're not in that situation, he says. I find myself wondering what he's reading. What are his sources? He must know something I don't know. We must be seeing an illusion on television. We must be missing what's important. Because surely, Mr. Secretary of Defense, I'll tell you what's happening. This is my theory. The Pentagon is filled. It's a cesspool of leftists. Thank you, President Obama. Thank you, President Clinton. Remember, Bill Clinton said early on that he loathed the military, and he did everything he could to dismantle it and replace it with people who are not loyal to this country. And Obama then took it further. And so the thing that they are absorbed with, I can tell you, at the Pentagon is transgenderism, LGBT rights. That's what's important. And so I have been in the presence of some of these Pentagon officials. It is chilling. It's chilling to hear them talk. They are from another planet. So Mark Esper has to work there. Oh, I'm not saying he should please them with what he says. I'm not making an excuse. I'm just saying I think he was playing to that audience. He was standing in the Pentagon with the Pentagon logo behind him, defying, undermining his own president. I don't think he's going to last, and I don't think he should last. And let me tell you what happens when a Secretary of Defense does something like that. This is something that happened yesterday. I believe it happened. I think it was in, I'm not sure where. I'm sure, actually not sure what geographical location, but there's a U.S. Army captain, and he's standing in the street around with his men. They're standing there in their uniforms. They're guarding this particular city block, they're doing that when they get, of course, confronted by the protesters. And this is what it sounds like. This is clip 22. Let's listen.
Saying once the looting starts, the shooting starts. Yeah, you have a president talking about the Second Amendment as a use for people to come out here and use firearms against the people that are protesting. This is the messages that we're seeing. I don't know if you on social media, because the news don't tell you everything. But you have to pay attention to what's going on, or else we have a president that's trying to incite a race war. And when the borders are closed, we can't leave. You have people in here that need your help. This is when you and y'all stand together with the community, with society, to stop the governmental oppression, period. We need you. So then march with us. March beside us. You get your people. Y'all march beside us. March beside us. March beside us. Let the revolution be televised. March beside us and show us that you're here for us.
Make history
with us. Please. Let's just do it. March with us. We'll start marching. You march with us. Please. Do it. Just come on. Be the change. Be the change. Do it. Do it. Please. Do it. Please. We are good people. March with us.
All right, so I can't play the rest of the clip, but you hear this. The president's trying to incite a race war. You soldiers representing your country, you need to kneel. And so what did they do? They kneeled. Now, I am unclear about whether there were two incidents or one. One story that I have says it was an Army captain. Yes, I think that particular clip was an Army captain, and those were actually military guys. And there was another one where the National Guard did the very same thing. You see a long line of them. This is an absolute disgrace. An absolute disgrace. This cannot happen. They are there to guard the cities, to guard the block. They are not to bow in obeisance to the protesters, to the demonstrators. Even if they are in sympathy with them, they are not to bow in their uniforms. Are you kidding? But who blames them? When the Secretary of Defense is undermining the president himself, this is the making of an insurrection. Just be on guard as to what this actually means. But when we return, I want to read to you something remarkable. Stay tuned.
Every day, babies in their mothers' wombs are fighting for life, with abortion being the leading cause of death.
I already had my mind made up. I was like, I'm going to go through with it.
The Ministry of Preborn has pregnancy centers nationwide, standing by to help young moms in crisis choose life. Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country. By letting a mother see her baby in the womb and hear the heartbeat, she's 80% more likely to choose life for her baby.
I came seeking termination, but once I got here and I took an ultrasound, I was overjoyed when I found out that I was having three baby boys.
Preborn's mission is to help save babies' lives and souls. To find out more, go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Or dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 and say baby. Your love can save a life.
This is Pause to Pray, a chance to stop down from the daily noise of life and pray for our country's leaders.
Today, we pray for Kelly Craft, United States Ambassador to the United Nations. Ms. Craft represents the United States on the UN Security Council. James 1:19 reminds us of the importance of being a good representative. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Right now, with this in mind, let's pray together. Almighty God, we ask for guidance for Kelly Craft as she represents our country at the UN Security Council. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pause to Pray is a service of this station and the Presidential Prayer Team, a nonprofit, nonpartisan ministry dedicated to encouraging prayer for our nation's leaders. To learn more, go to pausetopray.org.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Wondering how you'll finish your degree now? At Liberty University, we want to help. So when you transfer into one of our more than 100 undergraduate online programs this fall, you could earn up to $3,600 in transfer student scholarships, or more if you live in Virginia. That means you could pay less than $900 per course and transfer in up to 75% of your degree. That's up to 90 credits. Save time and money at a school that's been helping students like you for over 30 years. Learn more by texting DEGREE to 49595. That's DEGREE to 49595.
New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says he will not allow churches or synagogues or businesses to reopen, at least not for now. It's okay to pillage and plunder, but it's not okay to worship God. A Jewish reporter raised the issue during a news conference, wondering why it's okay for looters and protesters to violate stay-at-home orders, but it's not okay for anybody else. In recent days, Mayor de Blasio has declared war on churches and synagogues, sending police to disrupt funerals and threatening to permanently close houses of worship. The mayor says it's unfair to compare protesting in the streets to worshiping in a church house. He told reporters the nation is dealing with a crisis seated in 400 years of American racism. His words, not mine. He says it's not fair to compare that to an aggrieved store owner. For the record, the only solution to racism can be found in the church house, not the state house or the streets. I'm Todd Starnes.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
Mayor de Blasio, the National Guard is not going to work here. They're not trained to handle unrest. Do you agree with that?
No, not at all. If you look at what happened in Minnesota, they were getting decimated. And after 3 days of watching it, I demanded that the National Guard be utilized. And in one day, it was over. In fact, they got there at a certain time in the late afternoon. And by the time they finished, it was, somewhat sarcastically, but the safest place on earth. And Minnesota was really, really having a hard time. And we took care of it. And the governor's a nice man. And he was, not using enough, and he was, you saw the police were running in Minneapolis, and they were running away from their precinct, which is something I've never seen before. You have a liberal mayor that frankly was having a lot of trouble, and you have a very liberal mayor in New York too. And you notice that all of these places that have problems are not run by Republicans, they're run by liberal Democrats. So there is something into that philosophy, and yet they're also the ones keeping everybody locked up in their apartments and their homes for a lot too long a period of time. So it's very interesting how that changes. But no, the National Guard, we could solve that problem in New York. And in fact, if they don't get their act straightened out, I will solve it. I'll solve it fast.
All right. That was the president with Brian Kilmeade on Fox News Radio yesterday morning. And Sandy Rios back with you. I want to mention again that Senator Tom Cotton has written an article. An op-ed that was published in the New York Times. The writers are in open revolt at the New York Times, their own newspaper, printing such a thing. I'll give you a taste of what he had to say. These rioters, if not subdued, not only will destroy the livelihoods of law-abiding citizens, but will also take more innocent lives. Many poor communities that still bear scars from the past upheavals will be set back further. One thing above all else will restore order to our streets, an overwhelming show of force to disperse, detain, and ultimately deter lawbreakers. That was the horrible, awful, no good thing that Senator Tom Cotton wrote in his op-ed. By the way, we'll put that on our Facebook page because you should read it while you can, because heaven knows you can't be allowed to read something like that. Just in regard to details, Derek Chauvin, the police officer that was on the neck of George Floyd, his murder charge has been upgraded to second degree, and so many people are happy about that. Three other officers have been charged, and my understanding is that whatever Derek Chauvin, they are being charged as accomplices to this crime. And so whatever Derek Chauvin receives in terms of a sentence, and I think it's a potential 40 years now, they would get the same. I don't know. Is anybody happy about that? I guess some people are. I'm not happy about any of it. Derek Chauvin is on suicide watch, the police officer. I think that's sad. You know, his wife is divorcing him. I see a life completely destroyed, and those other officers too. And then, of course, we have the family of George Floyd mourning his death. His brothers mourning his death. It's just, and then the people that have been killed, the policeman that was knifed in the neck last night. This is just the stuff. It makes you angry. If it doesn't make you angry, then there's something wrong with you. It makes people angry for different reasons. We need to be angry for righteousness. This is the destruction of life because of the motivation of Satan himself. This is a battle between the dark forces that we cannot see, and it's playing out through people, that's for sure. But it's just very sad. And so in the midst of all of this, you know, this reminds me, for myself personally, this is not about me. I don't want to make this story about me. I'm just telling you, this reminds me a lot of the way I felt, and there's really no comparison, but I did feel this way when Bill Clinton was president and I was on the air in Chicago, and especially when the Monica Lewinsky scandal came up, and there was so much, it was just disturbing, all of it, the news, the details, very disturbing. And there was so much news that I could barely keep up then. It was every day. And I felt, you know, the responsibility to keep up. It was my job, and it was hard. And so this has been overwhelming. Poor Adam, he's been, you know, I've given him like clip after clip after clip and then some. And for me, the news is just the enormity of the information is overwhelming. And I could spend the rest of the show telling you about so much of what's happening. And I will tell you more. But in the midst of my own personal prayers, I have been asking God. I remember very well the hippie movement, which I hated. I was disgusted by my own peers. I was disgusted by their drug use, their silly flowers, their the affect of pot. That's why I hate marijuana so much. I saw the stupidity it brought upon people. And the carefree, yeah, supposedly carefree, but it was really silly. Just the absence from this world and, you know, in some kind of another a zone, as it were, and the lack of engagement and concern. And out of that, though, and then, of course, the hardcore leftists that were also there guiding along the flower-strewn hippie high-as-a-kite group, leading them into a really dark path. But out of the midst of all of that, and it was pretty discouraging. Remember, we had assassinations of the president, of Bobby Kennedy, of Martin Luther King. It was a terrible time, and the cities were burning, and There was just a lot to absorb when I was young. And that's probably part of that's what fueled the fire of my interest in politics. And it was just, I thought we were going to come apart as a nation then. But I remember what God did. I talked to you a lot about how the left, shaved their beards and cut their hair and went into Congress and onto college campuses. And that's absolutely true. But this is also true. God came and into the midst of so many of those hippies and leftists, the hippies especially, and grabbed hold of them and transformed their lives. The Vineyard Movement came out of that. My own son and his wife attend a Vineyard Church in St. Andrews, Scotland, where the worship is just terrific. It's still going strong. And Keith Green, who gave us so much fine music, and people whose names I don't know, whose lives were transformed in the Jesus movement, and it was a shocking thing. But God was so busily at work transforming people's hearts and minds, and growing them into what later became so many leaders. When I was praying this week, I was just really pouring my heart out. I said, to God, Lord, please send your Spirit, do another work like that. We need a revival. In the midst of all of this, of the marches and the protesters, we need a revival. And that was on my heart this week as I prayed. So that's why, again, this is not about me. I'm just telling you that for me personally, God brought something this morning that's just stunning. And I'm going to read it to you because it's stunning for you too. And here's what it is. And I'm not going to give the person will remain nameless, but he says this. Hi, Sandy. Thank you for curating your daily news delivery so pointedly to ensure we hear and have the opportunity to understand truth. I ask for anonymity as I am writing to represent a large group of men and women who are awakening to the truth inside of large tech hubs based in Silicon Valley. You will not hear about what is happening inside of the teams of Twitter, Facebook, Apple, Uber, Pinterest, Google, etc., as discretion is of utmost importance for each of us right now. But there is a true revival happening inside each and every one of these corporations. Eyes are being opened to the truth as this fight for civil liberties begins to reveal and expose the undercurrents of evil to the very generation that so many thought was lost. Men and women 30 to 35 years of age who were raised in faith-filled homes are right now reclaiming their faith while quietly, strategically pointing colleagues to truth. This is not our grandmother's revival. This is most certainly will not be represented in the news. But a true revival is happening, and it is harvesting of souls by thousands. I understand that many are discouraged by the blatant global agenda within our social hubs and within Silicon Valley at large, but I write this to encourage your heart and the hearts of your listeners in sharing that God has raised thousands upon thousands to be strategically placed on the inside, walking in prayer in the very places this evil is so thick. The Holy Ghost fire is raining upon and within us right now, opening up doors for us to speak truth and reclaim the souls of more than I could count to report. It is happening quietly, but it is happening. Be encouraged. The Lord is within these places. He has led us into these places for such a time as this. I also write to ask you that you and your listeners pray for all the brothers and sisters in Christ who have been planted within these global tech hubs in Silicon Valley, and that they do not assume all associated are themselves evil. Quite the contrary, there are many of us. Our Lord is cunning, and He ensured in advance that He would have a mighty army within these very places that evil wishes to claim. We are awakening to the truth and claiming souls to stand with us along the way. It is amazing and truly of God that He has led so many within my generation to the Bay Area. Many of those I am representing, myself included, were raised in faith, but loosened or altogether traded faith in for the glitz and the glam of the techie lifestyle. We did not come into Silicon Valley claiming our faith, but we are claiming it now. We ask that discretion, wisdom, and revelation be prayed over us in abundance. Our battles are not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and spirits. I'm going to cry. We plead that our faith-filled elders stop shouting at one another inside of public platforms and instead choose to lead us in spiritual maturity by standing boldly on the promises of God and by fighting this battle with us in praise and in prayer. We also want to encourage those who are afraid. God has already won, and he has already placed a victory team right here within these very places that our enemy believes he has the most control over. Media feeds you stories of fear, but much peace is here. What a brilliant God we serve. Always taking what the enemy means for harm and using it to manifest his glory. Praise Jesus for opening our eyes and our ears. Praise him for his revival inside of Silicon Valley. This is a testimony for parents raising their children in the ways they should go, for even when they are older, they will not depart from him. We have not departed from him. We were placed here for such a time as this. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for helping us to detect and navigate mental manipulation with our media so that we may have the opportunity to find the truth. And this is from a young man who obviously lives in Silicon Valley and works in the belly of the beast. I'm not sure if I can find the words to respond to this, except that just, Lord Jesus, we bow to just mark this time. What a great gift to know in tangible ways of your work in the midst of all of this. Lord, I see your hand all over what he's written here because I know you and I know how you work. I saw this in China. I've seen this in other oppressed lands and oppressed, truly oppressed, where you just break out. Your spirit comes down and you motivate for good. And the peace that he demonstrates in this is just amazing. I saw that in Chinese Christians who loved you and were being beaten and arrested, and yet they would not be silent. They witness to everyone. Lord, I know your hand is in this. I know this is no fake email. I know that this is powerful. It's a powerful move of your spirit. Lord, we just pray that you would protect this young man and all the people working with him. Lord, we thank you for the encouragement. I think of all the moms and grandparents listening who have expressed to me their deep hurt about the way their children are responding and behaving right now. Some of them are in the streets. And the discouragement, what did I do wrong? How did I raise them? What did I say? What should I have done differently? The agony and the despair to see your children turn so deeply against you personally, against values, but mostly, Lord, against you. Lord, this is an encouragement to all of them, what he's written right here. And so, Lord, we thank you and praise you for this gift of encouragement. And now I pray personally that you help me to get this in the right hands, just without attribution, but as a way of encouragement and motivation for pastors and people in churches around. I feel like our pastors don't know what to do. And maybe I'm not going to tell them what to do, Father. Only you can reveal to them in their own community what they need to do, the leadership they need to take, the way they need to stir their people, and how the move that you could do through us could transform the world yet once again. So I continue to ask and pray, Lord, that you would intercede in our land as you have in Silicon Valley. Lord, help us to see you and really whatever it takes. Honestly, Lord, even if it takes the destruction of our livelihoods, our homes, we cling to nothing. We cling to nothing. Our allegiance is to you. We will serve you as faithfully as we can, whatever it takes to bring revival to this country and transformation. We ask for that. Lord, I pray for the president who's under such terrible assault. I don't really know how he bears it. We pray for him this morning that you would keep him safe physically, that you would just do a mighty work in his own heart, as I believe you are doing, and Melania's, and all of the cabinet. Lord, we ask that you come against the enemies of truth, those that would undermine and destroy, the deceivers, the plotters, the manipulators. Lord, you know their hearts, and we ask that you would just stop and destroy their plans. Lord, help us to be your people, maybe in a way we've never been before. And now, Lord, I ask that in Jesus' name. And to those of you listening, we're going to open the phone lines. It's 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840, Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
Evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand it completely. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. This message is to the body of Christ. Following the depraved killing of George Floyd at the hands of Minneapolis police officers, it's alarming to see how quickly many professing Christ followers have rushed to tweet, post, march, respond, and engage absent the cross of Christ. Jesus told us the source of partiality, hatred, murder, theft, and violence. They all stem from the depraved human heart, and there's only one remedy for that heart-centered sin sickness. Cries for justice, void of the cross, rapidly descend into the pursuit of vengeance.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Hello, I'm Gary Roby, host of Call to Worship, heard each Sunday on American Family Radio. This one-hour program will lead you in a special time of worship and praise. We will focus on God's Word, spoken, and in music. Call to Worship has a different topic each week as we glorify God together. Be sure to join us at 5 a.m. Central each Sunday for a Call to Worship right here on American Family Radio.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Brian Fisher here with an excerpt from the Boy to Man book. Quote, as a 12-year-old boy, you have many important decisions ahead of you. Education, career, whom you will marry, where you will live. One of my mentors made the observation that God has built life upside down. All the major decisions we make in life, like career and marriage, we must make when we are least prepared to make them. We have to make life-critical decisions when we have less maturity and less life experience than we will ever have. So how do we make good decisions? There are two keys: seek God with your whole heart and seek godly counsel from mature men. More tomorrow. Order a copy of the Boy to Man book today as a Father's Day gift at AFAstore.net, AFAstore.net.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. 31 years ago, the world was shocked to witness on its television screens the sort of evidence about the true nature of the Chinese Communist Party that had long been available, but not so readily accessible. The People's Liberation Army was caught in the act of massacring, by some estimates, 10,000 peaceful protesters seeking freedom from the CCP's tyranny. To its lasting shame, the Bush 41 administration responded by sending a secret mission to Beijing to assure the Chinese communists that it would be business as usual. Far from punishing them for Tiananmen Square and countless millions of other crimes against humanity, American officials, corporations, and Wall Street financiers have for three decades enriched, empowered, and emboldened the CCP, transforming it into the existential threat to freedom that it is today. We cannot afford to persist in such immoral recklessness any longer. This is Frank Gaffney.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Yeah, can you imagine if the Tea Party surrounded the White House when President Obama was in office and the worst elements burnt down or burnt the basement of St. John's Church across the street from the White House, and President Obama said, I want to go visit that church, and they moved people away so he could visit. He would be praised by the media for sending every right message. What a hero. And you know the press would be all over those Tea Party protesters at the White House, and they would say it's entirely appropriate that the White House, the Secret Service, moved the protesters so that the president could go to the church with his Bible. This is hypocrisy of the highest order. I thought, frankly, Brett, the president going to the church, He marched for people who want to go to church. There's another part of the symbolism of that, quite important.
It was Ari Fleischer on a special report last night. You know, the president, you know, we talked about it. I don't want to belabor it, but he walks through the Lafayette Park with an entourage. That's where Mark Esper was so embarrassed. He said the president drags the press everywhere he goes. The Secretary of Defense saying this yesterday. Unbelievable to me. Unbelievable. So the president goes over there. And by the way, I saw online today a picture of Bill Clinton standing in front of a church with behind a marquee, much like the president, holding up a Bible. Of course, that was good, right? That was good. And I saw another picture of the president and Melania kneeling at that Catholic shrine that they went to that same day. Yeah, so Nancy Pelosi, you know, and I could go on and on. There is so much to tell you. Nancy Pelosi, of course, they're claiming that they tear gassed the protesters and beat them to get them out of the way so the president could have a photo op. It is always comes back to spiritual things, doesn't it? Isn't it interesting? Whether it's the Bible or burning down a church, or you can see that the focus of this really is God himself. It's not hard to see that the hatred really is for God. It isn't. Some of us are in the way of it, and we get spattered in the on the onslaught. And the president certainly takes the brunt of it because he's really defended religious freedom. But it really is kind of if you look carefully, you can see that the heart of this thing really is wickedness. But also, Rod Rosenstein testified, and I can't even talk about that today because of our time. I want to talk to you, but he basically said he would never have signed those warrants if he'd known. Of course, he did sign them. He signed his name to those warrants with false information. He did it more than once. Rod Rosenstein is not innocent. He claimed, I wouldn't have known about that. He sort of enjoyed the time yesterday, I think, except when Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley put him on the on notice. They asked him hard questions. I don't think anyone else did because, you know, the camaraderie of the Senate. Rod Rosenstein at least revealed the depravity of the leadership of the FBI in other ways. And so I think we took that out of that testimony. You'll hear more about that today. And I encourage you to look into that. Look for Ted Cruz's comments and also Josh Hawley's. All right. I want to go to the phone lines, though. So let's do that. Let's go to Ron in Florida. Good morning, Ron.
Hi. I just wanted to, first of all, say praise the Lord for Christian radio and radio in general, the free press and we have a lot of freedoms in this country that we take for granted.
Yeah.
So thank you for that.
Yep.
But I have experienced where I've seen police corruption. I've been fraudulently arrested 6 times. I've seen where police have forged my initials, altered documents, perjury, left and right. But I didn't go out and steal from someone. I didn't go break into someone's business and steal a Rolex watch. So these so-called, you know, they're standing up for civil rights and human rights. No, they're not. They're stealing. They're using this Gordon Floyd situation to go out and steal. So if I had a business and someone's going to come rob me, I'll say, yeah, bring in the police, bring in the National Guard. I've experienced it. I was incarcerated for 14 and a half months for something I didn't do, because I caught, a police officer, who was now chief of police in this area of the country. I caught him red-handed lying in a probable cause affidavit. And I was held hostage. I was kidnapped. I was essentially kidnapped and held hostage in the second worst facility in the country for civil rights violation complaints. Now there's 4 civil rights violations they can't commit anymore because of yours truly.
Yeah, Ron, that's very interesting. I wish we had time to hear more of your story, but I think the point you're trying to make is you experienced some injustice personally. But you don't think that the riots and all that's happening in the street would warrant that, and you wouldn't do that. And I think that's a very profound statement. Thank you very much. You know, we're finding that the police in Minnesota evidently use this technique of the knee on the neck. I don't have the article in front of me, but the stat was something like 30% of the time it was black men, and something close to that. It was the other percentage was white and then other, almost all men. But that's kind of a the way they have been taught to subdue criminals in Minnesota. I don't know. I can't say any more about it than that. I don't have an opinion about it, except that we saw it play out. And it was horrendous, really, what happened to George Floyd. You know, that doesn't mean they all resulted in death. That's just how they subdue. They have to use something, though. They can't. They're so restrained now. They can't do hardly anything. And you have seen probably videos of police abuse themselves. You know how it kind of is anarchy. Before this started, it's been anarchy because it's been a kind of an all-out war on police with Black Lives Matter and Antifa. Their sworn goal is to get rid of police and empty out the prisons. So don't think this is an accident. And so policemen really have their hands tied. I'm not justifying anything that happened to George Floyd, but I'm just telling you, just painting the scenario of what's been happening in Minnesota from what I'm reading. All right, Lori in Oklahoma. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning. Thank you for allowing me to call in. Sandy, I call this morning just to speak to the audience that probably is in the same condition I am. I am so grieved of heart over this situation. I have seen so much vile information out, so much half-truths, so many little pieces of lies that literally provoke people and their emotions instead of causing people to hunger for truth. It is like truth is being completely and totally held down and held back and prevented from coming out in my own family and in my own congregation. I have seen such a turn. I literally have people who I thought were my brothers and sisters in the Lord, and I never looked at them and thought, that is my Black brother, that is my white sister, that is my Asian child. These are my family of God. And they're posting things like, dear white people, dear white friends, hey white people. And then they're saying things like, you know, Black Lives Matter, or they're posting things like, no life matters until a Black life matters. But nobody, absolutely nobody wants to sit down and have a hard conversation about truth and facts and reality. And if you dare touch on it, such as the condition of man's heart and the reality about the statistics. I mean, I just recently heard Candace Owens do a massive background research on George Floyd, and I will not speak ill of the dead, but he's not a hero. You know, and Bishop Jackson, who we hear every day on this radio, calls out every pastor across this nation about the truth of being cowards and not talking and addressing the condition and depravity of man's heart. This is not about skin. This is not about the color of our skin. And we are allowing this to fester in ourselves and in our hearts. And if we dare address the fact that it is about the condition of man's heart, whether you are white or Black, you are accused of deflecting. And if you are a Black person, God forbid, they're calling you every name under the book, you know, like Uncle Tom or something. Nobody wants to handle truth anymore, that we need Jesus. We need Jesus. We need love. We need mercy. We need compassion. And yes, that police officer and everyone involved needs to be held accountable for what they did. But George is not someone, sadly, that should be escalated to the height of a hero. He was a career criminal. And I didn't know that. But I still feel bad that the man died such a horrific death. But I didn't look at that man and see a Black man on the ground and think him a thug. And I didn't see the white guy and think, oh, he's a bad cop because he's a white cop. I saw, look what human beings are doing to each other. How is this okay?
Yeah, Lori, you said so well what I've been trying to communicate this week, because, you know, I feel the same way. This is a matter of the wickedness of the heart. It has nothing to do with color, at least the killing of George Floyd. And I don't know about, I'm with you that the truth about George or about anyone, they always, the pattern of the left is that they make, martyrs. That's not the right, they paint a false picture of who someone is when they die. And that doesn't serve anyone, because the truth is he died unjustly. There's no question about it. It was just horrible to watch that, but that does not make him a saint. A perfect person that can be lifted up. And what you're saying is we need to have truth. And you're absolutely right about that. Lori, I'm sorry. I'm telling you, thank you. I'm going to let you go, but I'm going to keep talking about this for a second. Thank you so much. I have been reflecting this week on the condition of our churches, the condition of the leaders of our churches. And I'm not talking about the pastors right now. I'm talking about the hierarchy of so many places that I once trusted and loved. I could give you half a dozen, or I could rattle them off, that have become corrupted. And I don't mean sexually corrupted. I'm talking about corrupt in their thinking and not leading and not teaching. And no wonder our people, you know, they fail, what, they faint or fail for lack of knowledge. They've not been taught, you know, really taught and challenged. We've been playing church for a long time, playing church. I remember going to a church in Florida, visiting there once, and I was right out of the flames of D.C., and I heard the most fluffy sermon and the most fluffy music, and I was so impassioned that I confronted the pastor. I said, I'm not proud I did this. I'm just telling you. Don't you realize what we're up against? Do you not understand that we are in a battle? And here you are talking about X, Y, or Z. Here you are. This is a silly service, a silly sermon, an unserious treatment of God's word in such a time as this. Yep, I did that because this is what I've seen for quite a long time. And no wonder that our people who have been going to church for a long time are ill-equipped, untrained. Maybe some of them, many of them, don't even know Jesus. And so this is what happens. Let's go to Shirley in Tennessee. Good morning, Shirley.
Good morning. I just wanted to add, because of all the beautiful conversation here and the prayers, that I also have fasted and prayed about this, because I don't want foreign military police in our street, because our military won't do their jobs as their commandos dictate. I don't want to see this government crash economically and the mark of the beast come out, but these people are certainly helping all of that along. And the thought came to my mind, the Bible verses that the Lord spoke is, be ye angry, but sin not. These people are out here looting and stealing and doing everything to sin, and downright saying they are causing a revolution. So my thought for all the people who really are Christians, because we know that a lot of these fake Christians and phonies are going to help people get the mark of the beast, like the Brown Church. They're going to play the organ louder and actually be registering people to get mark of the beast. If the economy falls and everything goes haywire, if they cause a little revolution and our military people, one of which is my relative, don't want to stand up because they're saying that they don't want to fight against their own people. My people are the people of Christ. Jesus said, My mother, brother, and sister are those who do the will of God. Those are my people, not marchers, not looters, not people who call themselves something, but they're really not living it, which means they don't belong to God. So there is a separation and a falling away going on. But my people are those of the real Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray for everyone to remember the words. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will hear from heaven and heal their land. And I'm praying for the healing to come right now and for people to call God to do like he did in the days of Moses. He's going to have to swallow up some people in the ground when they march for the revolution. Jesus,
Shirley,
stand against the demons in Jesus'
Amen.
Name. Amen.
Amen, Shirley. Amen. Amen. It's nice to hear your voice and great to hear your wisdom. And that's the way we're going to end today. Lots of really deep stuff here. Not a lot of the details of the news, but maybe the real news, huh? Maybe the real news that Jesus is Lord. And we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So let's pray like that and trust him through all of this. Sandy Rios in the morning on AFR Talk.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.